you turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 78. It is always good to gather in the Lord's house to honor Him and recognize how good He has blessed us. And all those praises, and so today we recognize the praise of those godly men that have truly blessed us in our time of growing up and our time of being in the Lord's house, and how good it is to recognize our fathers. The psalmist recognized that same thing as he speaks about how we should, as fathers, do some things for our children, and I think it's important to recognize that. So this morning as we read Psalm 78, you recognize there's a word for all of us, not just men, but also women, to be faithful in the Lord's house, to be faithful to our children, and to be faithful to each other. The Bible says this: "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Let's pray today. Father, we thank You, Lord, for godly men that have influenced us. We thank You, Lord, for Your love, mercy, and grace that You have shed abroad in so many ways. And so, Lord, today I pray for a strong conviction in my life and the life of others that we would do as You called us to be, that we may make a big difference in the lives of our children and the lives of our community, and even much further than that. So, Lord, today just help us to be mindful of Your ways and Your words. I pray that You would, again, just help us to be courageous to simply act upon them and to be the people You've called us to be. Lord, give me unction today and clarity of mind and thought. Remove my distractions in my past. Let me speak those things again, what You'd have me to say. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I told you this story about the man that was in a car wreck and found himself at the gates of heaven. There is St. Peter there, and he was looking around, and St. Peter said, "Step up." And he said, "We have a new way of letting people into heaven this month. We're going to just ask you to just spell one word." And the guy said, "Oh, yeah, what's that word?" He said, "Love." He said, "Oh, that's easy, L-O-V-E. He said, "Just come right on in." He said, "But I got a few errands to run, and so, young man, if you'll just take some time, stay at the gate, and if anybody shows up, you just do the same thing I just did, and you just let them in. If they can't spell a word, you let them go that door, which is not good." To his surprise, Peter leaves, and no longer than just a few minutes, his wife shows up, and he said, "What are you doing here?" She said, "Well, I heard about your car wreck. I had a heart attack, and boom, here I am." She said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, St. Peter told me about this, and now I'm just letting people in if they can spell one word. And if you can spell that word, you can enter in." She said, "Well, that's great. What is that word?" He said, "Czechoslovakia." Well, that's not really how it works. Amen. Matter of fact, that's just the opposite. I know it's kind of funny a little bit, but that's just the opposite of what a godly man is supposed to do. A godly man desires for his family to know the Lord. A godly man wants those people in his life to recognize how good it is to be in the Lord's will. And so the Bible is full of passages about men that follow the Lord and lead their families to do the same. Psalm 78 is one such passage that shows how fathers make a difference in the lives of their children, and how they too can enter in heaven, not by spelling a word love, but by truly loving the Lord and loving others. And so let's take a few minutes and recognize some things in this passage that really speak to men and fathers, and really for everybody to be faithful in the Lord, to make a difference in the lives of others. Notice the first thing: we must proclaim the Bible to our children. We must proclaim the Bible to our children. For some reason, our society has passed the buck on this idea when it comes to spiritual matters when the father is involved. We have passed off sometimes spiritual training to the church or to some other thing, or maybe even to our wives. I'm not knocking that, but I'm just saying fathers have sometimes passed the buck on doing what God commands. And so the Bible says that we must be a major player when it comes to sharing the Word of God to our children. So how does that happen? Well, one, there must be a foundation. There must be a foundation in your life. Verse 1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Now, you recognize the law is something that God gave. It is the Word of God. And we recognize that how God's Word is good, that God's Word is right. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks about the Word of God being inspired in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We recognize this word for us is the inspired word of God that we must share. It is also God's revelation to man. It shows us how we should live. All scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16 is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And we also recognize that this word, that this law, this Bible is given for a foundation. Matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, speaking about the foundations of the apostles and prophets, that is the word of God. Why do we need this foundation? This word gives life. This word gives direction. This word gives correction. This word shows us how we should live. I've already read 2 Timothy, but let me read it again. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It tells us how we are to live. It shows us the way of life. It helps us to be as we should be. The psalmist said in Psalms 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It is important to recognize that we need the Word of God in our life. Before we can share it, we need that Word. We need to understand how important it is for us. We also need to recognize the hope that it gives. Psalms 119, verse 114 says, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy Word. Psalms 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and I do hope in his Word. Do I hope? And so show me a person with no hope, and I will show you a person that is miserable. We need the Word of God in us to give hope to this lost and dying world. Why does the Word of God cause hope? Because it is trusted, it is true, and it cannot fail. It is the foundation on which we truly stand. And we see so many times in the Bible about dealing things that people are dealing with, that without God they fail, but with God they are overcomers by His Word. And so we need to understand that God calls us to do these things. So how can we become that foundation? How can we give hope? How can we share life? How can we do these things? One, like the psalmist says in verse 3, by remembering our Father's teachings. Verse 3 says, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. That's where it starts in our life as a foundation, that our parents shared the Word of God to us. Before we were old enough even to begin to read, before we were old enough to study for ourselves, our parents gave us that hope. They shared the Word of God with us. We should be doing the same. Now, I can remember my grandfather. He was one of those godly men I've ever met in my life, faithful to the Lord. And I remember going and spending weekends with him and sometimes weeks in the summertime. And every morning I would wake up and I'd find Granddaddy and Grandma in the living room reading the Word of God and praying together. I'm telling you, it starts a foundation. Before I really understood the things that were taking place, I saw and heard those things that they did. So we need to remember our Father's teaching. But secondly, we need to read what is written. Verse 3 again says, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Read for ourselves. You may not have had a godly example growing up. You may not have had a father that sat down and shared scripture with you. You may not have had that in your life, but just know you're here now, and wherever you are now, recognize it is now your responsibility to read for yourself and understand God's history. Never in the history of mankind have we had more access to the Word of God. There's no place I can go that I can't either read from something that is written, pull out my phone, get on a tablet, a computer. Everywhere we can find the Word of God. And yet we find it is being used less and less and less in our life. So make some time this week. Make some time every week. Make some time every day to get up in the morning and read His Word. Now, you may not like all of it. It may be hard to read. I know when you get to Deuteronomy and Numbers, sometimes those are hard to get through. But there's always these nuggets in those. I don't want to elaborate too much on this. But there is truth that will change your life if you will focus on His Word. So let me ask you, will you commit to reading the Bible daily? Will you commit to understanding and apply God's truth to your life? Will you let the Bible direct your steps? That's how you become a foundation to those that will follow you. But you can't stay with that alone. Not only must there be a foundation, but there must be a fountain. There must be a fountain. There needs to be something that comes forth from you. So the problem with the Word of God is this. Not that it's not true. Not that it's not inerrant or infallible. It is not shared as it should be. I'm reminded about how these things come about our own salvation. Someone told us about the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, I quote this verse so many times, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." And then it says, "How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or somebody speaking the word?" Verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must share the word of God. That's why he says in Psalm 78:2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." That word "utter dark sayings" is not speaking about things that are not good or evil. That's not what he's saying. The things that have been hidden over time, things that have been forgotten, those things that we have taken out of the light and put back on the shelf. He says that we need to get back to sharing the word of God. "I will utter those things that have not been made known previously," you may say. So make a commitment in your life to share the word of God to your family. Again, the psalmist will utter, "I will share these things." So read the Bible to your family. Put it on a text. Put it on an email, however you communicate. Find ways to share some scripture with your children. Do those things that honor him by sharing the word of God. Secondly, recite the word of God from your heart. You may not memorize scripture much, but why not start today? You say, "Well, I'm too old." You are not too old. Focus on those things. Recognize there's some great things that we must share. And if you begin to memorize God's word, it will do something to your life. The Bible says that we should be ready to give an answer, to simply be found faithful. And so we understand that God wants us to be useful in that. But there's a third way I think is good. Not just remember and recite, but also ready to use the Bible truth in an everyday lesson. Look for ways to use the Bible to make something notable in your everyday life. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, verse 6, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." The writer of Deuteronomy says, hey, every place in your life, there will be an opportunity to share the word of God. Not too long ago, I remember my life, and Hayden was growing up, and we were mowing the grass and had some issues with the mower, and it was not real good. It was hot outside, and I just reminded him, if Eve wouldn't eat that apple, we would not be cutting grass, amen? Point back to the Bible. You say, that doesn't mean much, but get their minds back on where the truth is. It all goes back to the Bible, the foundation. Find ways to share the word and be a fountain of the foundation of God that he wants you to be. So let me ask you, fathers, are you relaying the word of God to your children? Will you commit to reading and studying and knowing God's word so you can share God's word? Will you look for an opportunity to share the Bible and biblical principles in your everyday life? He wants us to do those very things, to proclaim the word of God. But it's not just enough to proclaim. Notice the second point. We must practice our faith in God. We must practice our faith. Again, it is not enough just to share. It must be lived out. Somebody has rightly said, what you speak or what you do speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. We must not only share, we must live for the Lord. Notice the participation in the Lord's work. The participation in the Lord's work. Verse 5 says, "For he has established a testimony in Jacob." Now that word in the Hebrew is edut or eda, you could say. But it relates to the Greek word martyreo. And that Greek word martyreo means to live out your life in such a way that you would live at all costs. That you would basically die for the faith. And so the idea is this, we are willing to be a testimony to live out our life for the truth. I'm reminded that the law was given, but the law was more than just words. It was a lifestyle lived out in front of others. And so we must live a lifestyle in front of others for the cause of Christ. And so be a testimony, not just in the house of God, not just in a certain place, but everywhere we go. And the key to being a testimony is being consistent. And the key to being consistent starts with a conviction to live for the Lord. And that idea is, the simple conviction is, are you saved? Have you ever come to the point where you've simply allowed the Lord to control you, to overwhelm you, to be in you? Have you surrendered to Christ Jesus? Consistent living starts with the Spirit of the Lord indwelling you and then making those choices to live a consistent life. If you've never said yes to Jesus, you will not be consistent for very long. I've seen people that said they want to do better and been maybe in trouble. Maybe it's your marriage or maybe it's in your work or wherever. And you say, I'm going to do better. And yes, maybe for a time you have done better. You've turned over a new leaf or you've had a fresh start. But if you never let the Lord change your heart, you will never do well for long. Peter writes kind of a hard thing, but it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, but it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, speaking about those that have gone back, those that have not really made a commitment. A dog is returned to his own vomit again, and a sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter just makes the point, if you don't really have a conversion, if you really don't let the Lord in, you will not be consistent for the Lord very long. If you're not saved, you will not be consistent very long. So we have a conviction, but it continues with a commitment. Not just a daily or a commitment, but a daily commitment. I like Joshua 24, verse 15. He says this, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Let me read that again. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So many times we just muddle through life when it comes to our faithful walk. So many times we just muddle through. And if things work out, we do what the Lord wants. If it's convenient, we will live out our faith. If there are no better offers, we will serve the Lord. Why not consistently make a choice to serve Him? Daniel said this in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, when confronted with sin. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed way before he had the opportunity to sin. And look how consistent his life was. We need to hold fast to our purpose. The psalmist said in 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 4 says, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Recognize where God wants you to go. And so what are some things you can do that really starts with this idea of practice? There are so many, but just let me hit a few. One is prayer. It is hard for some reason for men to lead their families in prayer. I'm not sure if it's a feeling of inadequacy or what, but make a point. You will begin to pray in front of your family and let them hear your prayers. I'm telling you, it will change their lives as it will change yours. How about your passion? Are you raising up a generation that will follow Him? Our passion for the Lord should be something that is evident. Our passion to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. And so you may say, well, I'm providing for my family. That's good. You may go to work, and I think that's the right thing. 1 Timothy 5 says, if you don't provide for your own household, you're worse than an infidel. I understand that. But if you're only providing and not doing the other things for them, you could break life down in maybe three things: our physical attributes, our emotional, and our spiritual lives. If you only take care of the physical things, if you were taking a test, one out of three, that's a 33 on your test report, you have failed. If you only do two things out of three, emotional and physical, two, that's only a 60, you have failed. Why not get the right thing right? Work on those spiritual things as well. Spend time with them, listen with them, praise them, reward them, discipline them, and worship with them. Make the Lord's house a priority. We need men and women that just won't send their children to worship, but will participate and lift up the Lord's name. Get involved in the church and Sunday school. Get involved in some place, whether it's this house or some other. Raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Tell of His wonderful works, how God has worked in your life. Let it be good. Be that positive pattern, the testimony that God desires. Somebody wrote this little poem, Why I Do This. And the poem is this: little arms crept around my neck, and then I heard him say, four simple words I cannot forget, four words that make me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, oh, secret no one knew. They startled me, I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. Why do these things? Because our children will be like us. We must back up our words with a life that honors the Lord. If you don't do that, others will come in and do it for you, and they may lead them astray. Not just this idea of participation in the Lord's work, but there must be a praise for the Lord. 145 of Psalm says this: great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I've already mentioned about being the Lord's house, but I wonder, do we truly worship on Sundays? Do your children, do your family see you truly worshiping the Lord? Do you have trouble worshiping? Most likely, if you do, it's you've forgotten what the Lord has done for you. If you just take a moment and recognize how good God has been, the psalmist said in 78:11, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Oh, my friends, if you want to worship, think about what God's done for you. If you don't think about what the Lord has done, man, how sad it would be. You miss a great blessing. And then we need to recognize how we should be a witness of his wonderful works. They need to hear you say how good God has blessed you. When you read 11 through 17, I'm not going to read all these things, but all these wonderful works God had given the children of Israel, we recognize that God has given us. We should remember them. Praise is simply a recognition of worth. And so how often have you praised the Lord in front of your children? How often do you give the Lord praise in front of strangers? We should. He's established a testimony in Jacob. He should establish a testimony in our life. So let me ask you again, are you practicing your faith in front of your children? Do they know for sure that you are sold out for the Lord? Are you being a sure pattern that God wants you to be? Ask the Lord for strength and conviction and courage to be what you should be. And by the way, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself as well. We should do these things. Well, here's the last thing. We must proclaim the word of God. We must practice our faith in God. We must perceive the consequences of those actions. We must perceive the consequences of those actions. We need to recognize what this does. A consequence will follow whether we do this or not. But when we do them as God desires, as we are commanded to do, notice this, that our children recognize God and follow him. If we do things right, our children will recognize God and follow him. They will have at least an understanding of who he is. Verse 7 says that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments. The fathers are to tell, the fathers are to show, and when they do, that they might set their hope. That word hope is the idea of trust. Is the idea of trust that leads to salvation. It's the same idea that we find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21. And in his name, the Gentiles shall trust. We live a life of testimony, first to honor God, and secondly to help others do the same. And the most important people to share with is your family. To be the best dad is not to teach them to play ball or hunt or fish or instill good work ethics, but to teach them about the Lord. Know this, a dad has kids, yes. A good dad spends time with his kids. A great dad instills godly virtues in his kids. Have they heard you speak about the Lord? To know he is alive and well and can be trusted. Our greatest joy should be when our family comes to faith. 3 John chapter 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When we speak the truth, our children will recognize God. Secondly, that our children reach the next generation. Let me remind you, you're only here for a limited amount of time. You only have a limited amount of energy, and I'm learning that as I grow older. But as you share with your family, as you share with your children, it doesn't stay just with you, it goes with them, and then they arise and share. Verse 6 says that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So when you share with your children, in effect, you're sharing with your grandchildren. Israel had a great problem being right with the Lord. And then, not being right with the Lord. They had ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. When you read the Old Testament, Israel's on a peak at times honoring God, but then all of a sudden we find them in the valley and the pits of life, and then God chastising them. And then they turn and they're up on a pinnacle again, and God's blessing them and helping them, and then they're back in the pits. And you ask, why? The psalmist said, the fathers have forgot to tell their children about the goodness of God. And so in the generations that follow, when they forgot to tell, they find themselves in the very pits of life and being chastised because they are not following God as they should. And then they have a preacher that comes along and gives the word, and then they get right and they teach those things as they should. And then things are good again until they forget again. Think about our nation today and the things that we have failed to do. We have failed to share with our children as we should. We have dropped the ball so many times. And so it is time for us to pick up the ball and run with it and share those things. Share and instill those truths to our children. But why, you ask? Here's the last thing. Not that our children just recognize God and reach the next generation, but that our children receive blessings instead of condemnation. That our children receive blessings instead of condemnation. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside of this way which I've commanded you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Blessings and cursings come from obeying or disobeying the word of God. When you think about the cursings, when you read Psalm 78, 8 through 10, it is this people that have turned away, a stubborn, rebellious generation that have not set their heart aright on the Lord. And so we find in verse 21 and 22, therefore a fire was sent and destroyed many people. Cursings. When you get to verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them. All those things because the word of God was not kept, because it was not told, was not shared, was not taken. But the other hand is blessings. Verse 12 says of 78, a marvelous thing that he did in the sight of his fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand in a heap. In the daytime he led them with cloud, in the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink out of the great depths. He broke the streams, or brought the streams also out of the rock, and caused water to run down like rivers. The idea that when they obeyed, God truly blessed. The Proverbs writer says like this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. All he's saying is, follow the Lord. And when we teach our children, when we raise up and honor God and cause them to know him, how good the blessings will be in their life if they follow him. So let me ask you, will you make a commitment to honor the Lord today? Will you commit to being a faithful pattern? Will you teach your family about the goodness of God? Will you help them to recognize the great joy in life? And the greatest joy is to be right with the Lord. I hope so. Israel recognized their greatest blessings when the families did as they should, and the fathers told their children, and they recognized God and followed him. And they had their greatest defeats when the fathers failed to teach as they should. We too should honor God for a blessing for our children. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a second. In just a moment, we're going to sing Just As I Am. And I'm thankful the Lord takes us just as we are. But he never wants us to stay there. So if you're here today and you're a father and you've never been what God wants you to be, why not commit now? Why not say, Lord, you know my past, but let my future be something different, that I may honor you and let my children hear your goodness. Maybe you're here today and you never accepted Christ and you've never let the Lord change your life. Let me tell you, you're not going to be a testimony very long without that. Why not you? Man or woman, boy or girl, if you need to be saved, why not let this be the day that you start to honoring your Heavenly Father. Maybe it's church commitment. Maybe it's the Lord's house you need to enter, and this is the day that you need to join, to get your family plugged in. Whatever it is, don't miss the point of how good God is. And when we serve Him and obey Him, how good life is too. Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. Thank You, Lord, for the great examples in Your Word that show us hope and life and truth, that give us direction, that cause us to live a life that would honor You. So, Lord, today I pray that You convict us, guide us, lead us, move us. Let us be courageous to do the right things in all things. Bless the invitation and bless Your Word. Thank You the promise that when it's read, we're not come back void. Make good the day on that. Break our hearts. Mend them. Help us to be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.